It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Jump in here. Hey, welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. We are going to have a conversation. You talk about a conversation. We're having our version of The View. So in studio with me is three amazing women, entrepreneurs, Susan Kochevar with 88 Drive-In Theater, one of my valued sponsors. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Jen Hewlin with Water's Edge Winery, another one of my valued sponsors. It's great to have you here.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. And Patty Kurgan, you do the research for the show. You're an entrepreneur, and it's great to have you here, too.
Good morning.
I'm sorry. This cannot be The View. Nobody here had a lobotomy.
A frontal lobotomy, but she does have a bottle in front of her.
I do. So let's just talk just a little, and nice and chilly. This is from Water's Edge Winery, and this is a special label here, and you can do all kinds of things. I bet this is my favorite white wine, isn't it?
It might be. It might be. Good
Thank
thing
you.
I know you.
Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
Much. So shall we read this? You want to read this?
You go right ahead.
Okay. It says, yes, I will be your Valentine. I will comfort you after a long day. I will enable you to express your deepest emotions. I will make you feel like you're the most beautiful woman in the room. You can have me right now. Love this bottle of wine. So, Jen Hewlin, thank you so much. And Water's Edge Winery, just tell us a little bit about that. You've got some special things coming up here.
We do. Well, today's Valentine's Day, so we've got a big dinner planned tonight. You can come in all day today. Any last-minute gift ideas that you need, we have chocolate, we have wine, gift cards, all kinds of fun little tchotchkes and things that are wine-related. You know, your woman loves it, so stop in.
And for more information about Water's Edge Winery, all of my sponsors are on my website, kimmunson.com. You have a landing page there. Susan, you have a landing page there with 88 Drive-In Theater. And so be sure and check that out, because I highly appreciate and recommend each of you. And as many of you know, people are kind of surprised that I buy my airtime, so that means it's because of you guys that I'm here, and I greatly appreciate that, and I love Crawford Broadcasting, really love all of them, and I also love the fact that I am an entrepreneur. It gives me full editorial control on what we put on the show, and so it's totally freedom, you know, which is, it's really liberty, the responsible exercise of freedom. So let's jump in here. It's great to have all of you here. Oh, one question, Susan, when are you going to open the theater, do you know?
Well, you know, when it stops snowing, gets a little warmer, I'm hoping for January 20th.
That's early.
I'm not January 20th. March 20th.
Okay.
Sorry.
I guess January 20th was the other day.
What day is this? Yeah. I don't know where I am. Too early. March 20th for A Quiet Place 2, but we'll see.
Okay.
Usually the weather's not nice enough. So, you know,
stay
April,
tuned.
Yeah, somewhere
stay
in there.
Tuned. Okay, it's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So as we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force. Patty Kurgan, I know that that's how you really look at these issues when we're, you know, doing the research for the pieces that we're going to be talking about. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. You can vote your way into socialism, but it's pretty tough to get back out of this. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom via force, whether or not it's with policy or weapons or excessive and unpredictable taxation. So I know that you really use that as you're you know, looking at each of these articles.
Absolutely. And as we're in this session that started in January and goes through May,
oh my gosh.
Yes, that's what we're seeing is, you know, the force. We're in the bills, it's regulations, requirements. There's so
mandates.
There's so much control, and they're taking away our individual rights. And a lot of it, as we're going to talk about today, is vote buying. And again, you're talking about voting your way into socialism. Well, you know, the article that I wrote really started off with the 16-year-old vote.
Mm-hmm.
These kids don't have a clue what they're doing. It sounds cool. they're going to go ahead and they're going to vote themselves into socialism. The rest of us will have to go down with them. We're not going to. We're fighting back. But the point is that that's what they're doing, is trying to get these young kids, groom them into a political ideology as quick as possible, and then they'll have them as lifers.
Well, and the problem will be is once maybe they grow up and realize what has happened, it's going to be tough to get back out of that. And so what you're referring to is we have a group. We're starting a writer's circle here with the Kim Munson Show. We have some really great writers. And you had done this op-ed that is now on the website, kimmunson.com. And it is basically, I mean, it's about vote buying. And what is so terrific is, as I look at it, I mean, you're getting a lot of engagement there, and I'll try to find what's happening on Facebook as well, because you've had a lot of shares, and it's a really important piece, so I'd recommend that you go and take a look at that. And then you might take a look at the one that's right next to it, which is the one I wrote the week before on the homelessness industrial complex, and both of those pieces have gotten a lot of traction on that, but we're going to talk about your piece in segments 3 and 4, Patty. So it's great. It's so great to have you all here, and happy Valentine's Day. As I always like to start with some gratitude, and gratitude to the amazing team, and that is to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and thank you to each of you listeners. I appreciate you listening. Tell people about us. I have folks, I was with a bunch of girls last night, and a couple of them were like, I just can't get up that early and listen to the show at 6 o'clock. I said, well, they do replay the show on KLZ from 10 to 11 p.m. every day. And within 24 hours, we have a great recap with the podcast on my website, kimmunson.com, so you can listen to that at your leisure. But to each of you listeners, I appreciate you. You're valued. You're treasured. You have a purpose. Go out there today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. So it's Valentine's Day. So I started looking for love quotes. So I came up with Sophocles, I think. He is, and you know what? I'll tell you this in a minute. He was born in 496 BC. He died in 406 BC. And he was one of the classical Athenian, of the three great tragic playwrights. He's best known of, he had 123 dramas. Can you imagine that? And it is Oedipus the King. Now, ladies, you could take a look at that. I guess I did put the names on there, but I have a semester at the University of Kansas, and I never really studied Greek tragedy. But I know Susan, DU graduate, and Patty, Duke graduate, and what school was it, Jenny Hewlin?
Well, after a relatively failed year at the University of Michigan, because I'm a Michigan girl, I went to Ferris State University, and I have a couple of degrees from there.
Okay, and you're an entrepreneur, I tell you. You know, all of us are.
Way more important than my degrees, by the way. My life experience.
You think?
I think. Second that.
Yep. You think so. Okay, this is Sophocles' quote. He said, one word freezes all of the weight and pain of life, and that word is love. So I thought that was great for Valentine's Day. Okay, Steve, you ready for the funnies?
Far away.
Okay. So I'm going to change the name. Steve walked into the post office.
The second I read that, she said she's not going to do the name that's listed here.
Steve was telling me this the other day. He said he walked into the post office a few days before today, Valentine's Day, and he couldn't help noticing a middle-aged, balding man standing in a corner sticking love stamps on bright pink envelopes with hearts all over them. The man got out a bottle of Chanel perfume and started spritzing the envelopes with the perfume. By now, Steve's curiosity had gotten the best of him. And so he asked the middle-aged balding man why he was sending all those cards. He replied, well, I'm sending 500 Valentine's cards signed Guess Who. But why, Steve asked. Because I'm a divorce attorney, the man replied. Ouch. Okay, let's jump in here. First thing that let's talk about our bill of the day. And this is wild. It's concerning requiring certain establishments that are licensed to sell alcohol beverages for on-premises consumptions to allow a customer to bring one bottle of wine into the licensed premises for consumption on the premises. So, Patty, why don't you set this up a little bit for our listeners?
When I first read about this bill, I'm like, who in the world would bring this bill up, and what's the point of it? Mm-hmm. And that sort of was one of the reasons why I got into the vote buying article. And I consider myself a good friend of Jen's, and I'm like, I can't believe that, you know, like, Jen would never be in business with something like this. She started off strictly as a winery and only having wine, and she's now gone into very extravagant, good, excellent food.
The food's fabulous.
Right.
And Chef D.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Chef D is phenomenal. And so I guess I have a personal interest in this one because of Jen. And it's like, no. Don't people understand the costs of setting up a restaurant? You don't see a lot of the back room kinds of things, let alone all the rules and regulations that cost Jen a lot of money. And you have to pay for it somewhere.
Well, the crazy part of this whole thing, if I may interject, is as a liquor liability laws here in Colorado and across the nation actually put all of the responsibility on the business owner, the person checking the IDs.
Of the personal responsibility of
correct,
the person.
Correct.
There's something wrong with that.
My servers and me, I have the potential to lose my liquor license if somebody overdrinks or if they're underage or if they bring in a bottle and their friend's underage and they decide to let their friend drink from it. They put all of the onus on the business owner and the server to make sure that we are all doing what we need to be doing to be good citizens.
Now, do they pay you for that?
No, we pay them for
that. Oh, that's right. You pay them
right,
to do that.
For the pleasure. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And when we say them, we mean the state of Colorado or the right. Municipality. Okay.
Correct. Exactly. So let's say Susie decides she's going to grab a bottle of her favorite box of wine and come in with it. How do we police somebody? First of all,
that's not your job.
Even more importantly, I'm a business owner. It's my personal private business. It is private. It's mine. I own it. You can't tell me what I can and cannot do. I mean, I guess they do, right?
They're trying to.
But they're trying to. But so they're saying, I know your business model is to sell wine, but we're going to let people randomly bring in wine? I just don't even understand how that can be considered valid. I don't understand.
Well,
it's frustrating.
What's so interesting is that the sponsor on this is Senator Kerry Donovan, who is from the Vail area, my understanding is. And my gosh, those businesses up there, you know, they thrive on hospitality.
Right.
And so this is going to start to undercut them. And ultimately, they will go out of business. And Susan, you want to weigh on this before we go to break?
Yeah, it's the same thing as owning a restaurant or, you know, bar or whatever, and people are going to bring their own food in. I mean, heck, you know, you just have that table sitting there, Kim. That table's not costing you anything. So I'm going to bring my food in, sit at your table. You know,
but you have to pay for the lights. You have to pay for all the rules and the regulations.
You initially bought that table. You have to pay for the staff. It does not work that way. It is stunning to me how little these people that sit on these committees in our legislature know about things, how things actually work.
Well, and isn't there something that they've proposed about, like, captioning for movie theaters or something?
Yeah, they wanted to force open captioning for a certain number of theaters. And the truth is, that hurts the business model. Now, eventually, technology is going to overtake that, and we'll be able to really better serve those customers. It's just some things can't be forced through.
Well, and that's where we hear the word force. But ultimately, Jen, this is going to put people out of business.
For sure. Yes. Yeah. Either that or people like me will require an $80 corkage fee. So sure, you can bring in your wine, but now my liability's gone up. My insurance will go through the roof, and so my costs go up. I'm not selling a bottle of wine, and honestly, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but restaurants work on like a 5% margin. So if you burn an item, or for all of you guys that send something back because you forgot to tell them you don't like croutons on your salad, it hits that bottom line very hard. So it's the alcohol really where a lot of these restaurants are making their money. And in our instance, we're a winery, so it's the wine. So if people are bringing in their own wine, how do I stay in business?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that is a point that I made on my homelessness industrial complex op-ed. And that is that who's pushing this is the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless, which is a quote-unquote nonprofit. When I looked at their 990 from 2018, which that is the report that has to be filed with the IRS, and nonprofits are supposed to make that public. I saw that they had I can't remember the exact numbers now, but $70+ million in revenues, and they actually retained $13 million of that. That's a pretty healthy profit margin, if you ask me. And so again, I checked it out, and the Colorado Restaurant Association said most restaurants are operating on 5%. And so the idea that now you have the state government coming in and saying, inserting themselves into your business model is beyond me, and I cannot believe that it is being introduced by a senator from Vail who, you know, that is their business, is the hospitality industry. So final thought, Jen?
Yeah, just really quick. I think this reminds me of high school. You've got bullies that, because they can get away with it, push people around, and they take their money, they beat them up. And that's what it feels like being a business owner in the state of Colorado right now. The only way to stop bullies is to punch back.
And that's one of the reasons why we do this show, is so that people can get their brains around this issue. And it's interesting you would say punch back, because we're going to be starting our salon series with you. And it's going to be, the first one's going to be March 20th. We had thought it initially was going to be the first part of January, and we just got jammed up on time. But it's going to be with Helen Raleigh, who immigrated from China, and a great voice for the American idea, and then Dr. Paul Prentice, and it's going to be the punches to push back on Democrat socialism. And so that'll be on March 20th. Details will probably be coming out, not this newsletter, but next newsletter. Before we go to break, though, the Avalanche and the Nuggets are in the hunt for their divisions. March Madness, I love that, is right around the corner. Rock Chalk Jayhawk. The place to watch the games is Hooters Restaurants. They have plenty of TVs, so you won't miss any of the action. Wednesday is Dine-In Wing Day. All the wings you can eat for $15.99. Try their new roasted wings. My favorite, though, is the boneless wings. If you don't want to cook, you can drop by Hooters Restaurants, pick it up, and take dinner home. Or you can have Hooters wings delivered right to your front door. More information, check out my website, kimmunson.com. We're going to go to break. I think when we come back, let's talk a little bit about Tom Steyer and the minimum wage, because I can see there has actually been smoke coming out of Steve's ears, and we want to hear what he has to say about that. We'll be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. I love the music from these great Westerns. Susan Kochevar, I love those old Westerns. So thank you to Charlie. And since we're talking about, you know, pushing back on what's happening down at the State House, I mean, we're Coloradans. I mean, I think most all of us moved here, but I've been here a long time. We came here, I think, for that rugged individual spirit. And, man, it is under assault right now down at the State House. And also on a national level. This is amazing. This was from, Market Watch. Democrat hopeful Tom Steyer is calling for a $22 an hour minimum wage. Presidential hopeful said 22 hourly if he's elected president. The billionaire climate activist made that call during a campaign block party last Sunday afternoon in Winnsboro, South Carolina. Others in the Democrat field have called for an increase to $17 an hour. The town of about 23,000 off Interstate 77 has endured a series of economic struggles in recent years, and its unemployment is typically among the highest in the state. Steyer is making a play for South Carolina, trying to buy votes, wouldn't you say, Steve? I think probably trying to buy votes here, where former Vice President Joe Biden has traditionally led polling. But Steyer has spent millions on television advertising and is campaigning here this week as the rest of the field stumps in New Hampshire. And I guess that was last weekend. And Steyer says he can see success in the diverse states of Nevada and South Carolina as critical to primary success. I think, Susan Kochevar, you had a comment or two regarding Tom Steyer raising the minimum wage to $22.
Yeah, I have one of those articles on your website, too, about are you willing to pay for a living wage? Because all of that stuff eventually costs consumers money. But the thing that...
And let's just tell people how you go to that. You do that, and I'll make sure that I can navigate people through these other pieces so that they can get to that, okay?
Okay, so check that out. But, you know, it made me want to look at Tom Steyer and sort of figure out who he was. I don't understand how there's such a disconnect between business costs and, you know, what the legislature or people just want to force through. So Tom Steyer was born into a wealthy family. He went to Yale, and he studied economics. He graduated in 1979. And what's stunning to me is that he studied economics, and he sees no link between the costs of labor for a business and what they have to charge their customers. So, you know, how much?
I think he should get his money back.
I think
whoever
so.
Whoever paid for his Yale education.
Well, didn't Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez also study economics?
She did.
She did.
What, socialism economics?
It's probably the Paul Krugman instead of the Thomas Sowell. You know it. So.
Well, in Ocasio-Cortez's case, she even worked in a bar. How is it that you don't actually notice what's going on in the bar, all the things that the bar owner has to pay for, and still think such bizarre thoughts?
Well, maybe she's sneaking shots behind the bar.
Possibly. Yeah.
Well, and that is another thing that that is difficult for a restaurant owner is that there's actually there can be theft out the door. Right. I remember a young person that I know was working in a college bar, and the owner was really, he was a very good businessman, and he had said to each of the employees, he said, if I ever catch you stealing, you're fired. And he had to make that clear, and I hadn't even thought about that you could have employees that would be stealing from you.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But
mm-hmm.
I've heard about that. So anyway, continue on, Susan. I'm trying to get to this piece that you did.
Yeah, so that was my major point. I just don't understand how people can have such a disconnect and not understand how things work. These people couldn't run a lemonade stand.
Right.
You know, Patty, what's your point and what are your thoughts on this?
I can't remember who said it, but at this point, I agree. If we're going to have a minimum wage and it's going to be as obnoxious as $22, why don't you make it $100 an hour? It really doesn't matter.
I would love $100 an hour.
Yeah. Oh, that was another joke that I was going to have for you guys. I may tell that on Monday, though, because it was Valentine's Day. I pulled this one. Okay, if you go to my website, kimmunson.com, and as let's see, Susan, I'm trying to get to this piece on that you did, but you can just go there and
you have to scroll down a ways. It was back on August 11th.
Okay, so it's a little ways back.
It's kind of down there. And it's kind of like the virtue signaling sort of thing. You know, people keep talking about a living wage, and they don't realize that I can pay my employees a living wage, but then I have to turn around and charge you, the customer, enough money to cover that living wage. It's like a buoy in the water.
But the customer then may say, you know what? I'm priced out of that.
Yeah.
I can't afford that. Somebody may say, I can't afford to go out to dinner tonight because the costs are so high. So then ultimately the revenue is hit with the restaurant. And ultimately the restaurant's either going to have to let people go. They may move to another state. I mean, they may move. They may close their business.
Well, we've seen this across the nation with the $15 an hour minimum wage. I know in Seattle, we lived out there for a short time, and I have good friends out there. All of their favorite restaurants are closing. Or we also saw McDonald's put in all the automated touchscreen ordering things. People want minimum wage. They don't understand who covers that. They think us rich, and I'm air quoting over here, rich business owners, that we're going to just take it out of our deep pockets. And like I said, 5% that we're running on, we are not making a lot of money on food. Where do they think this money's coming from?
You know, Patty, I think many of these PBIs look at maybe a revenue number. And you would think, studying economics, you would realize that revenue doesn't mean that the owner is taking that home and putting it in their pocket. And many times the owner is working 60 hours a week. In fact, Susan, when we came up and had our evening with you, when I got there, you were cleaning the restrooms. I mean, they were spotless, but I'm like, this is the romance of being the owner of doing that. You know,
it is. Yeah.
And so it can be 60 hours a week plus. But Patty, regarding this forced minimum wage, Rosemary, one of our listeners, maybe you remember that, she had said this is actually the Youth Unemployment Act, because people will not be able to start to give these kids their first jobs where they get that experience, the dignity of work. And that's really unfortunate, Patty.
Absolutely. I come from a family-owned business, and my dad would probably be arrested today, but he took me in when I was in third grade to file because I knew my numbers and the invoices were, you know, sky high. And, you know, that really taught me a lot at that age, that there's a responsibility, and if you do a good job, you'll get something in return. And a lot of these kids will never have that experience. Even if it's 15 or 22, whatever that number is, it won't be there. You know, my kids all started off at $8 an hour. My youngest one was 14. The other two were 16. And they were proud when they got their check, and they're like, wow, I don't have to come and ask mom for any money. I actually earned that on my own. And I don't know. The other flip side was I don't have to ask mom's permission either how I spend this money because I made it.
So there was some liberty.
Right, exactly.
That.
And so if these kids never have a job, but we're going to let them vote.
So we'll talk about that in the next segment then.
Right. How can they vote? They've never experienced how finances work, even at a minute scale within their personal life. How can they make multiple million dollars decisions that school districts deal with?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Let's hold that thought.
Well, and really quick, you talked about Sophocles writing 123
plays.
Dramas.
Yeah.
Think about a 16-year-old. Every minute is a drama for these kids, and this is what they're voting with.
Good point, Jen Hewlin. So let's jump over to Jason McBride. It's Valentine's Day, Jason McBride, and the view that we have going on this morning, we want to know what you are doing for your wife for Valentine's Day.
Well, I am a wonderful husband. She said she wanted to go out for a really romantic dinner with wine and chocolate and wonderful food. And she said her date's picking her up at 8 o'clock and asked me if I'd watch the kids. And I said yes.
I thought you were going to say you were taking her to Water's Edge Winery.
Yeah.
Okay, Jason McBride, on that note, what is going over on the economic component of our country right now?
Well, you know, the two kind of quick things that I wanted to mention this morning. One, Kim, you may remember a few months back where we were talking about it's okay to buy as the market is making a new high or as a stock is making a new high. As long as you look at the chart and you see that it's emerging out of kind of a sideways pattern. And I looked at the numbers this morning. The S&P emerged to a new high back on around November 1st. It broke above the old high of 3027. Actually, it might have happened in late October. The point is that it's moved up about 11% since breaking out of that sideways base, and the NASDAQ has moved up about 16% since doing the same thing.
Wow.
And it just strikes me, you can look at the charts now, and it's kind of a more of a straight-up pattern with no sideways, but as we talked about, the market had really been going sideways for almost 2 years until it started to, make this forward progress again, so to speak. And I always find it amazing. There are those that say that, charts don't work. That's voodoo, or you're just trying to read tea leaves. And I just could not disagree more.
Wow, that is so fascinating. And I remember when we were talking about that, and that is really interesting. So I would recommend that people go to airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. That's the website that you and I have together. And right now you have your early year indicator guide. And, you know, I think knowledge is power. And so I'd highly recommend to go there and sign up and get that early year indicator guide. And you've put a lot of thought into that, Jason McBride.
Well, we did. And we'll talk a little bit more about those indicators next week. Kim, if I had one more thing to mention, if it's okay with you.
Sure,
you know, this one's kind of for sole proprietors, not to forget. If you own a business and you don't have employees, a SEP, S-E-P IRA is one of the easiest ways to set up a retirement plan for yourself. SEP can be opened very quickly, even for last year. You still have all the way up until the time that you file your tax return, including extensions, to establish and make a contribution. And Kim, in most cases, the small business owner, again, this works best for one man or one woman places, you can contribute up to 25% of your pre-tax income into a SEP, which is a pretty darn nice tax break.
That is a great idea. So I would recommend people sit down with you, do a discovery session with you or any of your colleagues over at Presidential. And Jason, have a great week. Happy Valentine's. Have a great Valentine's Day. And wishing Melissa a great dinner tonight, too.
Well, I'd better not be too great.
So you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay, ladies. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Thanks so much. He's a great guy.
He really is.
You know, it's so. Hey, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we have our version of The View. We're going to have to come up with a name for us. It'd be just perfect if we had Karen Levine in here with us with the Remax Alliance. So we've got enough microphones. We'll have to see if she wants to do this next time. But I have in studio with me Jen Hewlin, entrepreneur, owner of Water's Edge Winery, Patty Kurgan, entrepreneur, does research for the show, and Susan Kochevar, owner of 88 Drive-In Theater. We're going to go to break. When we come back, you'll want to hear what the girls have to say about vote buying. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out the website, kimmunson.com. We've got the great op-ed by Patty Kurgan there regarding vote buying. And in studio, Susan Kochevar, 88 Drive-In Theater, Jen Hewlin, Water's Edge Winery, Patty Kurgan doing research for the show. And producer Steve has been so excited that you girls were going to be in studio to talk about vote buying. And I said, well, you're going to have to jump in. He says, well, I'm not sure I can get a word in edgewise. But he said, producer Steve, you had something you wanted to share.
I want to put everyone's mind at ease that Colorado isn't the only state where these bills can come out off the wall, out from under a rock or whatever. Alabama, an Alabama legislator offers a bill requiring men to get vasectomies once they pass the age of 50.
What?
In response to the anti-abortion laws. Now, I haven't read the whole thing yet to connect the dots. I have no idea how these two ideas merge.
Oh, we've got to check that out.
So anyway, it's on thehill.com if anybody wants to read it.
And that's probably being pushed forward by whatever doctors do that particular procedure, right? That's so if you can't convince somebody to do something, you force them to do something, right?
There it is again.
There you go. So, okay, ladies, let's jump in here. Vote buying. And this is actually, Steve, do you want to say anything on this? Because this has been something that you have been so frustrated about. And we talk about that on a regular basis. I mean, these free giveaways that everybody wants to give away, free college, free, it's vote buying. And I know that's something that kind of gets your blood pressure going.
I guess it's the glasses that I wear in life, and maybe I need to have my prescription changed. But the very first thing that pops out at me when I read almost anything, it's like, this is vote buying. This is pandering to a specific group of people, like Steyer and his $22 an hour minimum wage. What else could that possibly be?
And then they don't talk about the effects, that ultimately that's going to put people out of work, and because you'll have businesses automate or they'll have to make adjustments. And so, but then that makes them more dependent on government. But ultimately, which that's socialism, ultimately you run out of other people's money because you no longer have entrepreneurs trying to figure out how to, quote unquote, make a profit so that they can create jobs and all kinds of things. But let's jump over here to you, Patty. As we were talking about vote buying, and you go through these bills, we're doing highlighting or lowlighting a bill a day, typically lowlighting. But this House Bill 20, 1149, you've written this piece. It's on my website. And we're really getting a lot of interest in this, but it's about vote buying. So set this up, Patty.
Well, again, as I was saying earlier in the show, 16-year-olds voting, it's not on our radar. There are so many important things going on today. Why would somebody put forth this bill? I really believe it's to catch these kids at an early age, have them indoctrinated. The political ideology that they're being taught in schools will cement a lifelong thinking process that will get them to a particular party. And you know, we've all heard the Churchill quote, you know, if they're not a liberal at 20, if you don't have a, if you're not a liberal at 20, you don't have a heart. And if you're not a conservative at 40, you don't have a brain. So, and I've talked to a lot of people who have said in their early 20s that they were really liberal and they weren't thinking properly. They were just having a fun time in life. But as they grew older and they had financial responsibilities, they're like, wow, there's consequences to this. And at 16, you don't understand consequences in terms of financial situations, especially when we're talking millions and billions of dollars, whether we're talking at the local level. Here, this bill is just for school districts. But then again, if you read the bill, you know, now 16-year-olds, right, 16-year-olds are considered adults.
So does that mean that... Except they're on their parents' insurance until they're 26 because they're not adults.
Yeah, so, good point, Jen. So what is it? You know, and that's what is so just kind of diabolical about this is you can see that they are actually really trying to buy these votes. They're trying to swing these elections. So it's not only the vote buying, but then what we have going on with that, having illegal aliens be able to get driver's licenses. I mean, it's across the spectrum. What they're trying to do is to, I think, really affect this particular election because the radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party are terrified that Donald Trump is going to win again. Susan, what's your thoughts?
Well, I agree. And to Patty's point, I think they dumb these kids down and hold them back. If you look at our employment laws, you cannot hire and work young people. And when they work, like Jen had said earlier, the education she got was running a business. Me too. I learned more there than I learned at 4 years at the University of Denver. I can tell you that. A lot more practical things, how things work, how to handle money. These kids aren't around this stuff. They aren't exposed to it.
Home Depot has actually done adulting classes where kids can learn to do adult things like, you know, like mow the lawn. I mean, a lot of kids haven't even mowed the lawn, if you can believe that. And yet we want to allow them to vote, as you mentioned, about these really important elections. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. Quite frankly, what this is doing is diluting the votes of actual people that have the right to vote. So when we talk about right to vote, and then we see people that are putting forward legislation, PBI is putting forth legislation or policies that dilute our vote, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, I think that you should take that as a personal affront because the right to vote is something that is sacred. And, you know, the founders, you know, by the time they were, you know, 20 years old, 22 years old, they had a lot of life experiences, but they still pushed off that it would be, you'd have to be older to vote. It wasn't until, what was it, when the amendment was passed that 18-year-olds could vote. And I can see that if you can be drafted in to serve in the military, then I think you should have the right to vote. I also think you should have the right to drink.
And smoke cigarettes, which they don't now.
And smoke cigarettes.
Yep, 18-year-olds can't smoke cigarettes. It's illegal now unless you're 21.
I hadn't realized.
Yes.
So what is the age of adult? And so now, Patty, to your point, we have seen in the public education system, I think, a dumbing down of a lot of our students and an indoctrination of a political ideology. I had been to one of the schools in Douglas County. I think it was, you know, sometimes they use the schools for like the county assembly or whatever. And so you go into different rooms for whatever your little meeting is. And there was a Che Guevara poster on the wall of this particular teacher's room. And it's like, don't you realize that Che Guevara was, you know, murdered people. He was not a freedom guy. And you realize there's that ideology that is being pushed towards our kids. Susan, you look like you want to say something.
No, absolutely. I've had that same experience. And I see people wearing T-shirts. Folks, at least Google the person that's on the front of your T-shirt and make sure you know what you're promoting. Che Guevara killed so many young Mexican men, sometimes right in front of their mom. It horrible person.
So it's astounding to me. So, but my point is and there's many wonderful public school teachers as well, but they're getting kind of squeezed by this loud minority. But my point here is to you, the listeners, is we've got our kids that are being indoctrinated many times with a certain ideology, and those are the kids that are probably really going to be actively out there, you know, voting. A lot of kids are just trying to figure out, gosh, who's my date going to be next week, and am I going to, you know, be able to play this week in the soccer game? They're not thinking about these issues. Jen?
Well, my question is, why 16? Why not 8-year-olds voting? I mean, at what point are they making decisions? Have you ever watched an MTV special? Like, all these kids, like, Pregnant and Afraid. I don't even know some of these young, but all these young kids, Jersey Shore, are these people we really think should be making decisions for our nation and for your pocketbook?
Well, and so we have this civic responsibility, and we need to be fighting back. With all this craziness that's going on down at the State House, I think we need to come up with a strategy to slow this down. They have introduced, Patty, it's like 400 or 500 bills, isn't it?
I think as of yesterday, it was 446.
446 potential new laws to that could affect your life. And I can't remember if you had this on here, but what was it? The two things, I think you did have this on here. So there's the legislation that says that you can bring wine into somebody's business, that they have paying the rent to make everything happen.
Right.
But then there's also a bill out there that's going to make it easier for your dog to go to the bathroom on a patio.
Yes.
Can you believe that? I mean, honestly, government's going to get involved in where dogs can pee-pee and poo-poo. Sorry, can I say that on the air? I mean, I don't. Sorry,
Cam.
I'm sorry.
Scandalous.
I mean, can you believe that?
I can't. It's just beyond words. And again, it's the government going in and controlling business owners like Susan and Jen. They already have their business model. They know what they want for their business. They don't need government coming in and telling them what they can and cannot do.
Well, and it's private property. They don't have the right. The only reason that they're doing it is because we are not stopping them. They are not allowed to do it, but we're allowing them. We all sit back and we don't get active and we don't stand up for our rights and we don't grab a pitchfork and march down on the State House.
Well, they probably won't let you get the pitchfork through security, but I think you're probably talking about the proverbial pitchfork.
Correct.
And that is showing up.
Right. Well, just being on the front lawn and seeing the people. And I know, Kim, you're always very active and you get down at the State House. And I believe all the ladies in this room are very active. And we need to do a better job from a conservative standpoint of rallying the troops and getting people down there and saying, no, you're not, you cannot continue in the path that you are going. You cannot take away our rights.
Okay, so this is what I think that we need to do. And I've been thinking about this ever since wine and tapas the other night at my house, Patty, and that is that we need to slow this process down. And, you know, we have, with just our tapas and topics groups, we probably have 800 women on the email list. Everybody is busy. But I think that we need to start to work with our spheres of influence, and we need to have at least 10 people show up for every bill down there, every one of them, and take their 2 to 3 minutes and testify and slow this process down. Because if we do that, there is no way that they're going to be able to get, and there's going to be more, there's going to be the late bills coming too, Patty.
Well, right now we're, like, I think I was told the other day, 138 bills ahead of what they had presented last year at this time.
And they can't even, there's not enough money to fund what they passed last year.
Correct.
And there's a lot of bills out there regarding really controlling our children, taking away parental rights. And, you know, maybe we want to talk about that because, well, go ahead.
I just want to say that all these bills, that's what it's about. It's about control and power. And they're taking more and more away. So some of them are like a great big, like if you have a rock and they really hit that hard, they've taken a big part out of it. Some of it they're just chiseling away slowly but surely. And, you know, parental rights, I hope parents are paying attention to a lot of the bills that are coming up or have already been presented, because it really is chiseling away. Even last year they had that one bill where a student 12 years and above can go and get counseling without the parents' consent.
Or they abortions, just passed, for that matter.
Right. They just passed another, or there's a bill up.
Oh, I guess we just got the word of producer Steve that we need to take a break. I guess we could just continue on. We're going to take a break. I have in studio three great women, Susan Kochevar, Jen Hewlin, Patty Kurgan. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out my website, kimmunson.com. In studio with me is a couple of great partners. That is Susan Kochevar, 88 Drive-In Theater, and Jen Hewlin, Water's Edge Winery, and a researcher, Patty Kurgan. Be sure and check out my website. Patty, you have written an amazing, very important piece regarding vote buying and this whole 16-year-old thing. Be sure and like it on the website. Like it on Facebook. A lot of engagement there. Very important piece. Susan, I want to toss it over to you. You said you had something that you wanted to talk about, the costs of all of this.
Yeah, a little bit. So kind of to Patty's point, at this point, the chiseling away, especially of a business owner's property rights, is coming down to legislation for people's pet peeves at this point, like wanting to bring their dog into a restaurant or wine into a restaurant. 440 bills, each bill costs about $5,000 to bring forward. So that's $2.2 million they've spent on all these bills, and some of them are so extremely frivolous.
Okay, let's talk just a little bit about that then. If, in fact, you wanted to have a business model where people could, well, it'd be perfect. People could bring their own bottle of wine and they could let their pet go to the bathroom on the patio. Okay. Let's say that you want to have that business model. You should have the freedom to do that instead of government coming in and saying that. Don't you agree, Susan?
Completely.
Okay. What do you think about that comment? I mean, somebody could have that business model. They could compete in the free market, and people that wanted to bring their wine and have, you know, animals, you know, more free to potty.
Right. Well, so interestingly, years ago I was in New Jersey and I was out to dinner with my little brother, and he walks in with a bottle of wine and I said, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Well, they don't have a liquor license here, so they allow you to bring in outside alcohol. You pay a corkage fee." And I said, "Well, that's actually kind of smart." And because there in New Jersey, they have a limited amount of liquor licenses and they're very difficult to get. So if you want to be a restaurant and you can't serve alcohol, then you just have to up your prices on the food, but you charge a fee for that. So opening the market and allowing people to do that if that's their choice as a business owner, and not forcing. This is a mandate. That's how it's written. It is a mandate that if you don't have a choice as a business owner, private property, and they're going to tell you that this is going to happen whether you like it or not. It's different if they say, hey, if you'd like to allow people to do this, and then you have choice. Mm-hmm. Choice is what we all want, right? Isn't that what this all is all about, is freedom? And if you're taking that away and mandating something, you're not allowing people to run the business. Businesses won't stay in business. And what happens then? I mean, the small business owners are the backbone of our society. If we start closing down, we're not going to the movies. We're not going out for fun with food and wine. We're not listening to Kim on the radio. I mean,
what kind of a life is that?
Nothing. Yeah, it's frontier time again.
Yeah. And we're going to run out of time here, but I want to throw something out because I had put in the newsletter when regarding parental rights, and I think I'd said, whose children are they? Are they ours or are they the government? And from, you know, a really kind of brainiac question, it's like, well, they're not our children. We don't own them. They're not property. I get that. But, you know, the point is we're trying to push back on government. It's like they're acting like they're children. And, you know, the pushback was, you know, the only real rights are the rights in the Declaration of Life, Liberty, Pursuit of Happiness. And I guess we want to protect that for our children as well. So maybe it's that we are the stewards of those rights. So we've got about 4 minutes. I'd like to just kind of kick the tires on that. Susan, are you ready to start with that? I know that we hadn't really talked about that, but we don't own our children, but we are stewards of our children. And it seems like government here in Colorado is thinking that they are the stewards of our children. They want to, government-run preschool, all-day kindergarten, sending government consultants in now prenatal through 8 years old. I mean, the list is going on and on and on. So I realize we don't own them, but yet we're stewards of them, and we need to protect their rights as well.
Well, it's what they're pushing is collectivism, you know, and in collectivism, the government does not care, nor can it care for individuals. So the best care cannot be given to a child by government. It can only be given to a child by their parents who love them and care about that individual. That is the problem with what they're pushing.
Okay. Great thought. Patty, what do you think about that?
I just look at the government in general terms. Name me one program that's really worked. So hands off to my kids. And I will pat myself on the back. I have 3 kids. They went off to college. They all got jobs. They're off on their own. They're financially responsible. They don't ask anything of me. I think I did a good job, and I didn't have any government help.
Okay. I hear, hear. So, Jen, what's your thoughts on this?
Same thing. I have 2 brothers, dad that worked at Ford Motor Company. My mom worked for Michigan Bell, Ma Bell. And they raised 3 wonderfully successful kids. None of us have been in trouble, going to jail. None of us have done drugs. There's a reason for that, and they were heavily involved. They did own us. I will tell you, my mom said, I brought you into this world, and I will take you back
out. And I can
out.
Take you. I've and, heard that.
Right? But, and I get the whole, the big idea that you don't own another human being, but you literally created that with the miracle of life inside your body. Those cells belong to you. Without your DNA, that person would not exist. They didn't create that, if I may quote our previous president. They didn't build that. You did. And you absolutely have control over that child. And it's ridiculous to think that anybody should have anything to say beside you and your husband.
Well, and so let's go to the outlier, because that's where they always go. And first of all, I want to say I also know wonderful parents that have had kids that have gotten off the track. I mean, it does happen. The other thing is that we and this is where they'll go is to the outlier, to that child that is in an abusive home. And that really is the outlier, I think. And so they use the outliers. They always use the outliers to then come in with more control when, in essence, to your point, they don't really care about the outlier.
No, and CPS, I think, is the perfect example. That's government coming in for those outliers. And what have we seen in the news lately? Missing children, taking children from parents and putting them into a situation where the child was abused or killed. Governed, Patty's point. It's right. Government programs don't work.
Real quick, there's a story, I believe, down in Colorado Springs. A young boy, I think he was 5-6 months old, taken away from his family because they said that they had neglected and child abused him because he had broken bones. And that was for almost a year. Turns out he had a bone disease. It had and the parents, the trauma that they had to go through to get their child back. So you're telling me the government knows better
Okay. Well, that is why we're going to have to come up with a strategy, ladies. We are just about out of time, but again, I want to say thank you. Patty Kurgan, thank you for being here. It's great having you.
I love it, okay. Especially with this crew.
I know. And we're going to get Karen Levine in here, and it's going to be, you know, really rocking and rolling.
Hi, Steve.
Yeah.
We'll have to bring Tracy in to produce board op that day.
Jen Hewlin, Water's Edge Winery, great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
And Susan Kochevar, 88 Drive-In Theater, it's great to have you here as well.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Okay. And our quote for today, I said, you know, I went to Sophocles, and again, he lived, Steve, we talk about this, wisdom from so long ago. He lived 496 B.C. He died in 406 B.C. And I was thinking about this regarding the 16-year-olds to vote, Patty. It's not just 16-year-olds, but... You know what? We all have a responsibility, but this is what Sophocles said. He said, ignorance is a tough evil to conquer. Ha ha. Okay, ladies, today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.